back. Tom Abraham Show. Got this puppy pulled away from the dock. You want to jump in, 844-5600. Toll free to your number is 888-702-5494. Your doghouse inbox is open, Tom at TomAbraham.com. Next segment's going to be a good time to get in. But right now, an opportunity to do what we do every Tuesday. We have our boys helping us out over at the NHL Network, and your host of NHL On the Fly is Dan Pollard, and he joins us now on the W3 Communications Hotline. For more information about W3 Communications, go to W3Wire.com. They are an official communications providers for not only the Tom Abraham Show, but the entirety of WNSR. Dan, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. Am I on the bat phone, the special bat phone that lights up?
You're in the special W3 Communications hotline. That's right. You're on the awesome hockey phone. Well, you are red on our call screen here, so that must mean something good happened. I don't know. But
I hope it's good. I was going to try to get the number down for that embroidery place because I'm sure the Preds jerseys are going hot right now.
Yeah, Preds gear is a hot item right now here in Smashville, that's for sure. Maybe you went red on the board here because of Canada. Maybe that's what it is. You know, the Canadian flag is got up there.
Oh,
so that's
okay,
what happened.
Yeah.
We get a call from Canada. It goes red on us. That's the deal. let me tell you something. Talk to me a little bit about, before we get into the nuts and bolts, I'm an NHL on the fly fan. I was born and raised in upstate New York, and I used to watch games out of Peterborough. I grew up right on Lake Ontario, and we'd point that antenna across the lake, and we'd watch the games through the fuzzy and all that kind of stuff, and it was always
you used to catch the Montreal Canadian games.
I used to catch Canadian. Well, I used to, especially when it was the playoffs, and it would be the Canadians beating up on my Bruins year in and year out, and it was just crazy. But I became a big fan of Hockey Night in Canada, and that's what and now I watch it to see Cherry. I'll just, even if I'm watching other games or whatever, I just jump over there. About 6:47 Saturday night Central Time, you could see Coach's Corner with Don Cherry. And being from Rochester, you know, of course, it's always great to see the old guy do his thing. But having said all of that, you guys are doing a tremendous job. The NHL Network has just done a great job. That the production is phenomenal. But when you get a light night like that, like last night, how does that work for you? Because some of these nights, you only have a couple, three games to jump around from, and it kind of leaves you a lot of room to do a lot of basically talk show.
Yeah, no, it does. The nice thing is, in the last year or so, we've started to set up more interviews with players, coaches. I was in on a lighter night last week and had a chance to talk to Dave Tippett. And the nice thing is, it gave me like a 5-minute block to be able to talk to him. So, you know, it's not like 2 minutes and, hey, Dave, thanks a lot, and you get one answer out of him. You can go a little more in depth and talk about the team and how things are going for him. And I just quite honestly enjoy some of those nights because you can delve a little deeper into topics that are happening in the NHL. On this night, I mean, obviously it's busy, but there are other nights, and I'm working with Denny Potvin tonight that I worked with Denny Potvin, and you can bring out some of his old stories as well.
Right.
So we just try to keep it to some topical stuff. Also, if we can bring in some history as well. But there's, as you know, with hockey, there's plenty to talk about.
Well, let's talk about the East for a minute before we come over to the Western Conference. And Washington running away with that top spot now there. Or way clear of everybody up there. And it's just a battle, kind of a three, I guess, four-team battle, if you want to go ahead and say the Rangers, and I'm not going to put Florida in that mix. I think the NHL playoffs are a better place with the New York Rangers, even though I'm not a Ranger fan. But it just seems the look on John Tortorella's face, especially in that Boston game a couple of days ago, he just seems resigned to the fact that there's something missing from that group, and they're just going to be on the outside looking in.
Scoring.
Yeah, scoring would be good.
Marion Gaborik or nobody, really. They were hoping that Olli Jokinen coming over was going to solve some problems with scoring, but Calgary found that out that, you know, it didn't work. Phoenix found that out. It doesn't work. Olli Jokinen's not a guy that's going to dig deep and find a way to get to the net during the hard times. A lot of his numbers come during games when games are almost over. I saw him a few times in Florida try and lead a team, but that's not the type of guy he is. They just lack so much scoring right now in New York. And you look at that young defensive core as well. They started off great. The season was a great start for all of them. But in the end, it's going to catch up because as a head coach in the NHL told me, what you do is you coach against their weaknesses. Find their weaknesses and coach against it. And you go at those weaknesses. In the case of the Rangers, it's a lack of scoring, so you get up. and then you attack their defense. You know, you get on them as soon as possible. Make them cough the puck up, and that often leads to offense on your team as well. The only thing that might work in the Rangers' favor is they've lost three games, and I know that sounds strange, but if you look at it, the Atlanta Thrashers have now won four games. This is one of their hotter streaks of the entire year. They're going to peak soon. This thing is going to crash, the win streak. Mm-hmm. For the Rangers, they've got an upside. You know, you run two or three off, and you're still within distance. The thing is, they have to still be within striking distance. I mean, it's getting further and further. It's 5 points right now. If the Bruins win another game and they lose, then you can basically write it off. But if they get hot for three or four games, there is a chance. But I don't like the odds of the Rangers getting in right now, unfortunately.
The Western Conference from 1 through 8 is a different animal than the East. When you look at the East, it appears to be very top-heavy. Is there, you know, regardless of whether it's Boston or Montreal or Philadelphia out of the bottom half of that bracket, are there any surprises to be had, or do you think that this is just a march and that final is going to have to be, you know, come from that triumvirate that's in the top four, of Washington, Pittsburgh, maybe Buffalo, New Jersey, if they can upend somebody along the way?
Yeah, no, you're going to see. I mean, Pittsburgh's proven that it can be done. They weren't as high in the standings as they are right now a year ago, and they went on to win the Stanley Cup. I don't think they're quite as strong as a team as they were a year ago. So, I mean, that's going to be something against them. But the Washington Capitals definitely, clearly, I mean, are the best team in the East. Saying that, there are all kinds of questions about them defensively. I mean, they're winning games 7-6, 7-5, because defensively they have liabilities, and it's not necessarily their goaltending. Jose Theodore, all he has to do is basically keep them in games. He doesn't have to steal them games. But defensively, the liability is up through the middle. They try the stretch pass an awful lot. It works a lot of times, but there are times when it doesn't, and they give up those soft goals at the blue line as well. So there are some questions. If I looked at all the teams right now, we were doing this a week ago. I was talking to Craig Button, and I agree with Craig. New Jersey Devils are the team to watch as far as being a team put together perfectly for a playoff run, and Marty Brodeur looking for something to prove after what happened in the Olympics.
Right.
I'd fear the Devils. I might look at the Devils as one of those teams they could upset and come out of the East.
Now in the West, we're loving this now, because you've got basically about 12 points separating from the top to bottom, and you get the feeling that every one of those teams could win a series, even though Nashville's never won a game on a road in the playoffs. We understand it. We know that. But
yeah,
I know. You get the feeling, though, that every one of those teams could win one, including Detroit, which is getting a little nasty now, coming in like this with this Jimmy Howard and the way he's playing, and we know how they've ridden hot goalies before. And I don't think anybody, I don't care if it's Chicago, I don't care if it's Phoenix, I don't care if San Jose has a lobotomy and figures out a way to get back on top. I don't think anybody wants to see Detroit in the first round.
No. I mean, and San Jose, the least of all teams after what happened with Anaheim a year ago. You're talking about Jimmy Howard, how hot Pekarina has been, you know, with just the one loss since the Olympic break. Second best goaltender during that time is Jimmy Howard. And he doesn't get a lot of mention as far as the Calder Trophy. Part of it, I'm sure, is because he's 25 years old, and another part of it is because he's a goaltender for the Detroit Red Wings, and people don't necessarily look at a goaltender for the Detroit Red Wings being young or being eligible for a Calder Trophy. But he has been hot, and the Red Wings, over longer stretches than they have all season long, have been playing more of the Detroit Red Wing type of hockey, the puck possession, the fewer giveaways, and that is a good reason to fear them right now. I mean, it'd be the Chicago Blackhawks. What a matchup that would be in the first round. Those two teams play each other hard every single series and have for years and years and years. But I know from the talk around the league is people are worried about that first round matchup in playing the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah, and it's amazing the way that the fortunes of Nashville and San Jose, who would meet right now, if the playoffs were to start today and these teams didn't have games in hand on the Preds like they do. But if it would end up this way, San Jose would play, Vancouver.
Oh, actually, Nashville.
Yeah, right. But in any event, it's amazing how those two teams, since that 6-goal and 16-minute debacle a couple of weeks ago, the Preds have been unbelievable. San Jose hasn't even led a game since November 13th. I think it's just incredible. I've never seen two teams go in opposite directions so fast.
No, I know, and I think what it was that, okay, check balancing for Nashville. I mean, they play a very structured game, and I couldn't believe the stat I saw. It was a week ago, where it's four straight games they had three penalties or less against them. I mean, that's discipline.
Yeah.
But that's Barry Trotz. That's, you buy into his system. You play his system. Dustin Boyd is a perfect fit for the Nashville Predators. He's a guy who can play a system. He did it in Calgary before. He's done it in other places. He can do it, and he's proven that he can fit into a system, and that's the Nashville style, and I think they were getting away from it a little bit. Got caught up in it, you know, obviously in the excitement that you had that big lead over San Jose, and then all of a sudden it fell apart. It's like, whoa, guys, okay, check. What got us here? What makes us win? And then all of a sudden the roll started again after the Olympic break, and I mean, you guys have been red hot since.
Can there be such a thing as peaking too early? I mean, it would be nice to be playing like this the last week going in or in the first week of the playoffs. But as close as we are with just nine games to go, is there a concern at all that a team could actually play their best hockey 2 weeks before the playoffs start and then go flat?
Yeah, it's in a drive to get to a playoff spot. But it's funny, you know, if I look at the San Jose Sharks and the Nashville Predators, if we go back to that game, and I'd say the San Jose Sharks are going into the playoffs on an 8-game win streak. Because of their playoff history, I'd say they can peak early. Nashville's a different team, though. I mean, they play that system where you're going to have a run of six wins in a row once in a while, but I don't see them peaking early. I just see them playing Nashville hockey, and I think that's more important than what the streak is going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Are you playing the type of hockey that makes you a winning hockey club? And it certainly is with Nashville. I mean, they don't give up as many shots. Pekka Rinne has just been lights out. The one concern I do have about Pekka Rinne is he is a young guy, and at times he's over-aggressive. He's unbelievably athletic, but because of that, sometimes he overplays pucks.
Yeah,
and that's what gets them into trouble. But other than that, I mean, they are playing their system to a T and basically have been playing playoff hockey, I think you'd agree, over the last couple of weeks to get into the position that they are right now. I mean, they flipped up the fifth for a short time there, back to six, but that's a pretty comfortable position considering they're at 89 points and Calgary is at 81 right now.
Yeah, 89 points with nine to go is a great result right now for the Preds. And we all knew the fifth was spongy because of the number of games in hand that some of the teams had on them. The thing I like, not to be a homer, but the reason I like them to win, you know, to be able to win a playoff series this year and go out there and do something is you got to ultimately win on the road. They've never done that. In those four playoff runs, they've never even won a game one on the road yet. Yet this year, they're 21-14 on the road. They're as good on the road as they are at home. They're 21-12 at home, 21-14 on the road, and that's not a fluke. That's like what you said. It's about the system. It's a type of system that you can take out on the road or play at home. It's not based on emotion and so on and so forth. It's very, very sound. And I think that's why this is the year that they maybe advance beyond the first round.
Well, and you like the way the scoring spread out. I mean, nine players with at least 30 points, and only the Flyers and the Hawks have more than that. So it's not like you go, okay, shut down that line. Okay, well, these guys play just like these guys play. And I'm quite surprised in the way Jason Arnott has become a leader. I didn't think I'd ever say that in his career. From the early stories of the way he showed up for practice and really didn't have that drive. He's a true leader. And he's a big part of what is good about Nashville these days. Hopefully he's back in the lineup tonight. From what I heard, he should be back because he missed the last game with that hand injury. But as long as you keep Radulov over in Russia, his head should be fine for the playoffs, I would hope.
Yeah.
At least for celebration.
You know, and Franzen is making, or not Franzen, but Hornquist is making a lot of people forget about what left with Radulov. That's for sure, too. But Arnett, by the way, you can go ahead and put it in your report, will not be in a game tonight. That's what we're being told here locally.
Yeah, so that's how he might be.
But the young guys, I think
Hornquist let me just tell you, Hornquist is a hero with us because we do the NHL entry draft rounds 2 through 7.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're trying to sell round 7 to people. Patrick Hornquist. Last pick ever, and I said it to Dave Reed the other night on the air. I said, I think officially we can now say the best ever last overall pick in the 7th round in the NHL, and he looked at me and went, yeah, you know what? Hard to argue right now.
That's what they should come up with, something like that. You know, in the NFL, they call it Mr. Irrelevant. The last guy picked in the draft is Mr. Irrelevant. They have awards, and he goes to all these things and everything. It's pretty funny. And but, yeah, he's Mr. Irrelevant in that NHL draft, and he's doing a hell of a job, 30-goal scorer now. But the young guys, I think, are the the ones that are juicing up, not only Arnett, but Dumont and the rest of them. They have played so well. Colin Wilson is just coming on so nice. The young defense. And I think those Grizzle vets are getting a little jump in their step off of that.
Well, you know, Colin Wilson's an amazing story because he's going to be facing surgery in the offseason because of his groin issue, but he's been able to hold off on it right now. He was a man-child when we went to the draft combine two years ago. They do a VO max test to test your oxygen limits. They have to get him off the bike because there's that 48-hour window for NCAA players where they can come in and they have to be out.
Yeah.
They had to take him off the bike and say, okay, it's good. They couldn't stop him. He just kept going and going. He was a physical specimen at that time, let alone what he is now, because now he's learned about man strength in the NHL, and he's learned to get into positions and use his body properly. 11 points in 16 games since his recall on February the 9th, and that was because of that groin injury, and he's playing through it right now. So I just look at a great upside for this guy as he gets healthier, but what a guy to have in your lineup heading toward the playoffs.
Yeah, and this whole thing looking good down the road too, with Ryan Ellis waiting in the wings to come in there, and the farm system is healthy. We're hoping that Jeffrey Owen kid, which is a big thing for us because that kid's from Brentwood, Tennessee. I mean, I know he's we had some fun the other day, Dan. We were saying the Jeffrey Owens, they go way back in Tennessee history here, you know, and the original, of course, Daniel Boone Jeffreon, as we were calling him. But, we're really looking forward to seeing those guys come up someday, too. It's going to be good here for a while, I believe.
Yeah, and Jonathan Blum's had a good year down in Milwaukee as well. Yeah. He's going to be a solid NHL, another defenseman. Yeah. I mean, you guys have the market on those guys. That's why the Ham Hughes situation became available. And then, in the end, he stays for the playoff run. And that puts you guys in pretty good stead. I predict this year, I think this year is the year you guys are going to win a playoff series.
That'd be big. That'd be huge. All right, man, I appreciate you watching it tonight on the NHL Network. Dan Pollard, our guest. Thank you, Dan.
No problem. Thanks.
All right, Dan Pollard joining us on the W3 Communications Hotline. And, again, for more information on W3 Communications, just go to W3Wire.com.